Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Ryan, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thanks a lot. Listen to you guys all the time, but it's a real pleasure to actually be here.
Well, boy, I just watch you read news on TV all the time, so it's a real pleasure to have you sitting here. I'm just thinking to myself, as soon as Ryan go on vacation, I'm going to make myself available to sit down and hold on frame of the news.
I like that idea a lot.
I told Joel that the other day. He said, but oh gosh, you're here downstairs. You want to go upstairs? So I said, yes. I want to sit down in Ryan's seat and, you know, I've seen the guy. I've seen his growth and his development. I've looked at him and listened to him and his commentary during the World Cup season. And if he's anything like me, now I know he started off in sport, but if it's anything like me, who didn't really know much about sport.
That's actually a misconception, to be honest. A lot of people...
Really?
When I started at TNC3 in 2010, I actually started in news and current affairs, and then I sort of moved over to sport to plug a gap and to fill a gap for a little bit, and that turned out to be a few years, and now I'm back in news and current affairs.
Well, Ryan, I am very, very, very pleased to have you on my show this afternoon. I am excited. And I've seen the growth with you over the years, and I'm very, very happy about that.
I appreciate that, D.
We have Christine Kangalo leaving office of the Senate President, resigning to make room and give herself the opportunity to now sit down in the office of the President. Now, there's a lot of talk around with how much money she's making. And recently, the Guardian newspaper bust that story, and we had a little insight as to her salary, which is somewhere in the vicinity of $771,400 per annum, which takes us down to $62,270, somewhere thereabouts, right? So, Ryan, give me some insight. Tell me, what is the president's actual salary? Break it down for me.
Yeah, well, the president, the office of the presidency, I'm glad that you put it in the way that you put it, because, you know, we don't want to really target one particular president.
That's right.
This applies across the board. It doesn't matter who is the president of Trinidad and Tobago.
That's what I say.
They are, you know, they work for this salary. They're entitled to this salary by law. They're entitled to it. So, first of all, let's start with the monthly salary of a president.
Uh-huh.
And I also don't want to make it seem as though this is something that I've been able to investigate and get, you know, over a few years of investigating. This is all available to the public, you know.
I said that on my show.
Yeah.
Somebody called me and they were like, Davey, you're not scared that when you leave there, the information you get. RIC have the information there.
Correct. The Salaries Review Commission.
SRC. SRC. They put it out. It's there. It's public knowledge.
They are obligated
to do so.
And so they have done. And so what I did was I really scanned the 98th report of the SRC, which is the latest report, and found some very interesting details that Trinidad and Tobago really latched onto when I looked at, when I listened to your program, first of all, and then I looked at the online trending stories. So it really showed that a lot of people didn't know.
That's right.
So let's start with the salary of a president.
Uh-huh.
And a sitting president works for $64,270 a month. Now, $64,270 a month.
No, this is tax-free.
This is
no health surcharge, no pay as you earn.
Nope.
This is flat salary straight to the bank.
Everything that the president of Trinidad and Tobago earns is tax-exempted. They are not taxed on it.
Right.
They're allowed a duty allowance of $9,650.
Can we speak to that duty allowance a bit? Mm-hmm. What is the duty allowance?
Well, the duty allowance is essentially what it says. They are performing the duty of president on a day-to-day basis as head of state of Trinidad and Tobago, and as such, they get a duty allowance of doing the duties of a president. On a day-to-day basis, they get a duty allowance at the end of each month.
No, here I say, I'm in a taxi, right? I'm in a taxi in Sawa right now, heading up Aranjuez. And here's what I'm thinking in my head. So you pay me $62,270 a month to do a job, and still, because I'm doing the job now, I'm getting a duty allowance of $9,600. Interesting. Let's continue. Just saying. So they hire you to read news upstairs, and every time you read it, they pay you something for reading the paper.
Correct.
Excellent.
Right. Yes. So moving on, there is a housing allowance if it is so to be. So we have an official residence, the office of the president has an official president's house that is located around the Savannah.
Coblenz Gardens, right.
Right. In around the Savannah in St. Anne's, right?
Yes.
Now that is a little bit of a tricky one, because that president's house in recent times Has not always been available to the sitting president, whether it is President Maxwell Richards, President Anthony Carmona,
and now
President Paul Amey Weeks. So they're allowed a housing allowance of $28,000. Now, you and I were talking about this morning when you called, and it's important that we sort of understand where her presidency came, you know, into this housing allowance, because everyone knows, it's public knowledge, that she doesn't occupy the president's house.
At this time. In terms of residency.
Yes. Instead, she's chosen to use her private home, mm-hmm, in a residential area. Now, another newspaper reported, mm-hmm, just after she was elected in 2018, mm-hmm, selected by the Electoral College, but just before she was sworn in, they did an interview with her, and she said in that interview that... it was her communications officer, I should rather said, confirmed that the president had never taken a housing allowance. And the president obviously lives at her personal home, but she has never, as far as I am aware, and as far as public knowledge in terms of what has been written about
and
her,
put out there,
has never taken the housing allowance.
Of $28,000.
Monthly. Correct.
Right.
That may be so because she believes that the president's house is available to her. However, she would like, in that same article that I'm quoting from, she said that because of her ailing mom and because of, mm-hmm, the age of her mom, she would prefer to spend more time at her private home, mm-hmm, which is in a residential neighborhood. And so her conscience might have said, you know what? I will not take this housing allowance.
From the taxpayers. I would leave that money there.
Correct.
Interesting.
For other presidents... where President's House itself was under refurbishment and the president could not live there, then they are duly entitled
to take that money.
Yeah, to $28,000.
Okay. So that would have applied to Maxwell Richards, Anthony Carmona, and okay, good. Yeah. So because I know they had some restoration work done on the house.
Correct.
Good.
Yeah. So more than that, the president of TNT is entitled to 60 days vacation leave. That's 2 months.
How long you had to work in our office before you could get that 30 days, boy, Ryan? Boy, but you just saying.
In our company, it's about 5-10 years.
Yeah, you had to make that case. Uh-huh.
Right. So the president is also allowed a warm clothing allowance. This is by the SRC. A warm clothing allowance of $900 per year.
So every time she travels to whatever country, she has a $900.
Not every time she travels, but every year.
Every year she makes an annual trip.
Correct.
She has access to $900.
Correct.
For warm clothing. Understood.
Correct. Right. She's allowed 2 adult first class tickets annually to the United Kingdom.
But that is up to the price of a first class ticket to the United Kingdom. So if she chooses to go to Barbados, but if she crosses that, then she will have to foot the bill. Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, it depends, because if she is the president, or he or she is the president of this country, and she's traveling to any country to conduct business on behalf of the people of Trinidad and Tobago, I don't think I don't think anybody would argue that the taxpayers should be
footing
that bill.
But if she's on her vacation,
yeah,
and she's going to London, what if she wants to travel to Russia, which is a bit further?
Right.
Anything in excess of that ticket arrangement, it will
be voted by her.
Yeah. Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah. The president is also allowed a subsistence travel allowance. This is when on travel, as you were just speaking about, mm-hmm, of $150 per day. So that's almost like what you'd term in layman's term a per diem.
Per diem.
Yeah. Of $150 a
day. Now, just to put a pin there, I want people to understand that we don't be surprised by that per diem arrangement, because artists in general, whenever they are booked by a promoter, they are paid a per diem fee.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's why there was a big artist some years ago, just giving some people some history, with Junior Gong, which is the late Bob Marley's son. When he came to Trinidad, he would have come in for one huge concert. Of the concert, and when it was through at the stadium, he was shuttled back to the airport and leave, because they couldn't afford the per diem figure. Mm. So the per diem is paid to the average artist when on travel. So if you're wondering, you know, what qualifies her to get that, understand what qualifies Beyonce, Jay-Z, and those kind, even Marshall, are per diem fee. Mm. So people understand that off the cuff.
Very interesting. Now, some of these, we've just gone through a list of expenses there, but a lot of other things are just footed by the state, to be honest. So, you know, things like cost of transportation. So you would see often if you're in Port of Spain and environs, you'd probably have to pull over if you're driving or stop crossing the street because the president's motorcade is passing. That's because that cost of transportation is full, it's footed by the state.
Fully compensated by the people of the Republic.
Yeah, right?
Right.
The cost of entertainment, there's also a cost of entertainment, and that is also paid by the state. The cost of internet access and telephone expenses, also paid by the state. The cost of medical expenses is also met by the state. And this is an interesting one, because when I was sort of digging up into the SRC document, it said that, so obviously, like most Trinbagonians, like all Trinbagonians, the president of the republic is allowed to go into any
medical institution,
any of the RHAs, any of the regional health authority, health authorities, and access
medical care.
Medical care at no cost, because that's how our country runs.
Right.
However, if the procedure or whatever needs to be done for the president cannot be done at a regional health authority, be it at the Eric Williams Medical Sciences Complex or in San Fernando General Hospital, then that care is sourced at another institution, whether it's private and within
the parameters of Trinidad and Tobago or even outside.
Right.
So if she has to go to Cuba, for example.
And the state will fund
that bill. Okay.
Yeah, and that's where it gets a little bit broadened for the president of the republic, where the president or he or she, if the procedure or whatever needs to be done, the care that that is required, can't be done at a regional health authority, then their care is expanded to private institutions, and the state will pay that bill.
The bill will be borne by the state. But here's something, Ryan, when you look at the expenses, we understand the duty bound, the duties that she will receive, the basic remuneration package, but do we have or do we know what the costs are for the motorcade and all these different things? I mean, that is also inclusive of what she's getting.
Yeah, that's
her food.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a really interesting question, and actually, I'm glad that you kind of asked it. I don't have the answer for it.
I know we don't.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's an interesting question because it's a question I guess a lot of other people and a lot of our listeners this afternoon are also asking.
Yes,
and it's a question that I sought to ask from a former from somebody who was very much connected with the office of the president. And knows about these things and really looked at the security detail of the president and all of these logistical things, and they were saying to me they themselves, they have the figures, they're very
private,
skeptical, because this is very sensitive information, and I couldn't quite get it out of them, but they said to me, Ryan, this is a in their words, a logistical headache, and they said it's very, very expensive, and you know, it depends on how much the president at the time has to do on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, what is required, how far they need to go, because like you mentioned, you're right, it's not just transporting the president, it's transporting an entire security detail.
That's
it's
right.
Transporting their secretary, it's transporting you know, so it's a pretty big deal when the president or the prime minister has to move
from one point to the next. I mean, we are no way close to being an executive presidency in this country. However, she is regarded as holding the highest office in the land, all right? I would imagine that the president's house would have been outfitted with enough gadgets and mechanisms in place to secure the president herself or himself, who is ever part of the residence. They would be secured. The premises would be designed for such. When a president opting to sit at their residence in the absence of the use of the president's house, is it that we now have to outfit this house?
Absolutely.
What type of cost are we looking
at
here?
And again, I'm really glad that I had a conversation with this person before I came, because the very same person I'm alluding to, my source, told me, again, logistical headache. Because
I could imagine.
It went as fine details as it's not just having maybe 15 to 20 security
officers
around the house. It's not that. So they would put in cameras where the residential home probably didn't have cameras before.
Wow.
An IT room, an information technology room,
is created on the residence
compound itself, right? And then monitors are placed in, and it's monitored, and so it's really, you would have to outfit that home as best as possible,
yeah,
to meet. And it's a little bit, when we talk about expenses, it runs into a lot, because now you have to sort of redo what you did at President's House, you have to redo at a residential home.
That's right.
But also they were telling me that it's for a security detail, for the head of a security detail, it's just they called it a logistical nightmare or a logistical headache, because it's not an ideal scenario having a president or a prime minister live in a residential neighborhood, for many reasons. It's not just the inconvenience to neighbors. In fact, if I was the neighbor of the president, I would probably feel good. It wouldn't be an inconvenience to me, because I would feel much safer. But
they're there.
But the security detail itself does not feel as secure as having all the logistics that are available. But I also wanted to make sure that I mentioned that this is not an isolated case. This happened when Prime Minister Kamala Prasad Bisesa, the then Prime Minister,
we was getting to the evidence in the Puna up there.
Yeah,
right. So,
it's not isolated.
The same thing
happened when Mrs. Kamala Prasad Bisesa
took office,
and was not living at the Prime Minister's residence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the very same scenario. It's a very, very same scenario. It's nothing different.
Ryan, how much of an inconvenience and a headache you think it would be for residents in that area? I mean, coming and traversing, you're no longer allowed in as smoothly as you would like. I would imagine if you come in at 1-2 o'clock in the morning, you get embraced. They're looking at your vehicle because you're passing close to, you know.
Yeah, I would imagine that, yes, there would be some inconvenience. I imagine with everything, there'd be some pros and cons. But again, I think we ought to also remember that in the case of not only President Paula Mae Weeks, but also Mrs. Kamala Prasad Bisesa, the then Prime Minister, when you sort of grow up in a neighborhood, you'd have a certain level of, relationship.
And relationship
with your neighbors. So mm-hmm. I imagine that the president might have, said to her neighbors, that I'm, this is something that I want. I hope you're okay with it. I'm doing it for this reason. And I, maybe some neighborhoods are still that close-knit that they'll be fine with it, So I imagine, I don't think that it's an authoritative decision and a dictatorship decision where I'm going to stay here and, to hell with everybody else who lives on the street. I don't think so. I don't see that happening, to be honest, especially when you're into this political game. You're not in the business of losing friends.
No, yeah. Thing we have a few minutes again with you. Two things I want to mention before we depart this conversation. She opted to not take that $28,000 because of the fact that the president's house is probably outfitted and ready for her, but for personal reasons, she sought. So then, who's paying the extra bills?
Well, that's foot by the state. The state pays the bills, and it's a good question, and it's a legitimate question that I've tried getting answers to. Because
I would imagine,
I mean, President's House is a beautiful house. Now you pass it at night, and the lights, chandeliers mm-hmm. are beautiful, and it's really well lit. But that's
very regal.
Yeah, that's an electricity bill.
Exactly.
We still have to have staff there. Although the President of the Republic isn't living there, we still have to have staff there so that when incoming president comes in, that they have a well-maintained place.
We can't leave it to get dilapidated.
Yeah, and then...
So you have a duplicate of staff. You have a mirror staff at the president's residence where she is at, and then you have it at the official residence.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I imagine that you'd also have to have cooks as well. You'd have to have cooks at your private residence, and you'd also probably have to have some cooks when you have, because the president works from President's House. So I imagine, you're sort of doubling up on some things. I'm not too sure of, about the cooking element of it, but certainly that's an important part of it. So, yeah, you're looking at, and this is not my words. This is from a source that I spoke to that is very familiar with the runnings of this, of President's House and also Prime Minister's House, by the way. There is no getting away from it.
Wow.
If you're going to have the president or the prime minister living in two separate locations, working one and almost operating like how a regular citizen operates.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting.
You're going to pay double.
You have to. Well, it's definitely double the price. So as you talk about work, what exactly does the president do on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, nobody has really come up with the answer. And we've had six presidents of Trinidad and Tobago.
And we're about to have a seventh.
And this is one of the things that political analysts, I was actually talking to a political analyst a few weeks ago, and this is one of the things he was saying. This was Dr. Raghunath. Mm-hmm. He was saying that this here, this moment in time, where potentially Christine Kangalu can become the next president on Friday afternoon, this is the ideal time for us to answer that question.
And I agree.
You know, no. Let me say in the same breath, I also want to ensure that our listening friends understand that in the words of President Carmona, the presidency is not impotent. There is roles, there are functions of the president. So you and I were talking this morning in consultation with both the Prime Minister and the opposition leader.
Yeah.
The President of the Republic will pick members of service commissions, chairs of the service commissions. You know, they will swear in members of a cabinet,
right.
Ministers of parliament. They will give instruments of appointment to, incoming ambassadors and high commissioners. So they have a very important function. And they're also tasked with a lot of this. They're also tasked with, you know, they also have to do their day-to-day job in, you know, being briefed on what is happening in the country. The Prime Minister is obligated, any sitting Prime Minister is obligated by law to speak to the President and to update the President on what is happening in the Republic.
Really?
Obligated by law to, they have to update the President. Doesn't matter who is Prime Minister and doesn't matter who is President. Update the President on what is happening in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, one of the things that I really want to quickly touch on, just before I leave, because this is an important one, and it was a huge criticism of President Paula May Weeks while she was in office. I saw on social media there would always be memes and criticism that she wasn't speaking out on national issues. And a lot of things happened in Trinidad and Tobago over the last 5 years that a lot of people felt that she should have spoken up about. There's a misconception that the president has to remain mum on certain things. That's a misconception. The president is allowed to speak on national issues. The president cannot interfere in the day-to-day runnings of
the country.
That's not his or her job. That is the prime minister's job and his cabinet's job.
Right.
The president cannot interfere in the day-to-day runnings, but the president can speak at any point in time on any national issue that he or she wishes to speak about. And it's not limited to a Christmas message or a New Year's Day message or a Diwali message or an Eid message at any point in time. But in the same breath, let me make this clear, the president can also wish to exercise silence on national issues. Both are accepted. It is fine. The president does not need, if the president feels that he or she does not want to say something on, let's just say, a spike in crime or a scourge in violence against women or a spike in corruption by an international index that is happening in the country. Some of them choose to wait until the opening session of parliament to speak directly to parliamentarians as opposed to putting out a national statement.
Mm.
Both are accepted. President Paula May Weeks may have chosen to use her addresses at Christmas time or New Year's Day or Diwali or Eid to
send the message.
Yeah. Both are fine, both are accepted, and you know, if the public sees it as a negative, then that's fine. The public is allowed to do that, but she is also allowed to feel that she doesn't need to get into a national debate on crime or matters of national issues to appear to be slanting either to one political party side or the other.
Beautiful. One final thought before you go. There was some talks about who the Prime Minister would have recommended and the opposition leader would have put forward, Israel Khan. Please clarify for me that, once again, whoever sits in the seat of the presidency, they have to work in tandem with the sitting Prime Minister.
Well, not only the sitting Prime Minister, they have to work in tandem with both the Prime Minister of the country and the leader of the opposition. And that misconception of working alongside the Prime Minister is what it is, a misconception, because in reality, it is the Prime Minister of the country and the government of the country that have the say on which person becomes the next president. But in reality, that president is obligated to work with both the Prime Minister as well as the opposition leader. And in many instances, they do not have to either. They can take the Prime Minister's advice and select Davey Murray for a chair of a service commission, a teaching service commission, mm-hmm. or a police service commission, or they can go with the opposition leader's advice. Or they can just neglect both and say, you know what?
Wait, that is interesting. So the Prime Minister and the opposition leader would have put forward names. They can put forward a name and elect that person. They have that power.
Right.
Within their remit?
Right. And in some cases, they don't have to take the advice of the president, of the prime minister or the opposition leader.
They can make a decision.
Yeah. In some cases, they will be advised and they will make their own decision.
Ryan, I want to thank you very much for being here this afternoon. It has been a pleasure to talk to you. I am still no way closer to know what the president does on a day-to-day basis, but I'm hoping that somebody heard us and on Friday, we can get some clarity on this matter.
I agree with Dr. Bishnu Raghunath. I think now is a really good time, given the modernity of Trinidad and Tobago, the digitization of Trinidad and Tobago,
the youth of Trinidad and Tobago,
the youth asking so many questions now, more than any other time in the country's history. Now would probably be a good time for us to answer some of those questions and move forward in a more accountable and transparent manner.
Ryan, thank you so much for being a part
pleasure.
Of Freedom.
Please, folks, invite me again.
Of course I will. On matters of national issues, we will definitely talk. It has always been a pleasure. So thank you again, Ryan.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.